Hello, teachers. We're in session number 4 in our study in Numbers and Deuteronomy. Today's text is found in Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 through 24. In the last lesson, we saw the report that the spies brought to Moses and to the children of Israel. We saw them ignore God's instruction, ignore God's provision, and really just ignore the strength that was available to them in Christ and in what God had provided. Or I say Christ and God and what He had provided. And so they listened. There were 10 spies that were bad, gave a bad report. They said, yeah, the land is good, but we can't go in. The children of Anak are there. There's people everywhere. There's enemies everywhere. We can't do it. And Caleb and Joshua, Caleb was the one that was highlighted last week's text. But even in this week's text, to the verses right before, we see Joshua and Caleb kind of go against those men and say, we should go in. And we get to chapter number 14, verse 11, we see God and Moses having a conversation about the rebellion, essentially, of the children of Israel against God, not trusting Him, not believing they could go in, and then God responding to it. So that is really the subject. It's really rebellion and God's response to people based on rebellion, what God does. We're going to see how God responds to the rebellion of His people by observing three truths made clear in this interaction that He has with Moses in verses 11 through 24. The first thing we see about God's character and about how God responds is that God cares about His reputation. We're going to see that in verses 11 through 16. Moses and God have this conversation. Verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them?" Now, one thing that you have to think about as you're reading this text is that God here is revealing who He is, who His character is, what His will is, in the way that He's having this conversation with Moses. This is written from an observer perspective, meaning God is saying what He's saying based on revealing to the people He's talking to. What do I mean by that? What I'm saying is, when God's asking these questions, He's not asking them because He doesn't have the information. He's not saying, man, how long am I going to have to do that? I don't know what the future looks like, Moses. How long will I have to deal with these people? More of it, he's saying, is this is the kind of behavior that I'm frustrated with. This is unacceptable behavior from my people. How long will these people provoke me? How long will they ere they believe me? How long will it be before they start believing me for all the signs which I have showed among them? What were the signs that God had shown to them? Well, you can start back with, you go all the way back to Abraham, God choosing a nation, God choosing Isaac and Jacob, and then using Joseph to get all the family there and then making that family into a nation. You could definitely go that far back. You could clearly go back to what this generation would have seen, which would have been raising up Moses and doing the plagues and to Egypt and getting them through the Red Sea and providing them manna and quail. You put those together, it makes mail. Manna and quail and all those other things. God had done so many things for them to provide for them. And He had showed them through these spies, like how good the land was. All of that was there. And He's saying, of course, showing Himself, giving them direction with the pillar of fire and the cloud. He had shown them so many things to show that He was real to them and that He would care for them and that the promises that He made He would keep. And yet there were tall people in the land. There were all these problems in the promised land. And so they felt like they couldn't go in. Verse 12, "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make them a greater nation and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." Here you see that God's not going back on His promise. If God would have done that, Moses is still in the line of Abraham, and so God would have kept all of His promises to Abraham. So, but he says, I can make a nation through you, Moses. You're the one person that is at least somewhat obedient to me. I'll do that through you. But here we see where Moses appeals to God's reputation. He says in verse 13, Moses said unto the Lord, the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest this people and thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he did swear unto them, therefore hath he slain them in the wilderness. Basically, Moses is saying, God, your reputation's at stake. People, our enemies, your enemies will go against you, and they'll tell a story. They'll say that this all happened because you weren't the kind of God that could get them through the promised land and could conquer into the promised land. And so we see here that God cares about his reputation. I love the idea that in the scripture, oftentimes, because of the promises of God, he has tied his provision of us to his reputation. You know, it says in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does he say? Something in Psalm 23, for thy name's sake. Thou leadest me in paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Thou leadest me in paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. He's taking me on the way that I should go and helping me become righteous because his reputation matters. And so what an amazing thing we see here about rebellion, that God's going to do the right thing to his people because his reputation's at stake. Number two, we see that God acts in keeping with his character. Verse 17, this is Moses now appealing to God's character. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. It's very clear here that Moses is appealing to the merciful and gracious, forgiving nature of God and asking God to be that for this people, even though they were being rebellious. And we see that God responds to that. God acts in keeping with his nature. And you see, he doesn't let things go. We're going to see that in the next minute or so. There's consequences to our action. But God is kind and loving and will act in keeping with that character. That leads us to the third consequence here, the third truth in this interaction, that God gives consequences according to our response. You're going to see that in verse 20 to 24. It says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now this, just to be clear, God's revealing himself again. Moses wasn't telling God what to do. Moses was petitioning God. God was already going to answer this way. God wasn't up in heaven getting his mind changed. What we see here is God doing what he had, what Moses had appealed to. He says, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, there's the 10 spies, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they will not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. So there's consequences. The ones who doubted God, disbelieved God, and disobeyed God, they'll never get to see it. They'll never get to go into the promised land. He says, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So you see here two different responses to two different people within the people of God. One was to the spies, the 10 spies that provoked him. They don't get to see the land. Caleb, who had faith, he got to enter into the promised land. What a beautiful picture, right? Caleb, Joshua, they get to go in. The other 10 did not. So you see God responding to the rebellion of his people. He will keep his promises because he cares about his reputation. He will do what his character is. He doesn't change. And that means there is times where he's gracious to people like Caleb, people like Joshua, who act in faith, and even though they aren't perfect, did the right thing, God responds to them. God pardons the whole people because they didn't do right, but they did respond to the 10 leaders that told them, no, we can't go in. Those 10 leaders can't go in. And in fact, we find out later that everybody of a certain age and older could not go in. God was going to use this new nation of people and take them into the promised land, but he was going to make them wander for 40 years. Sin always brings consequences. People who drive under the influence of alcohol can receive God's forgiveness, but the consequences of accidents remain. I dealt with that with a young man today, talking to him about God forgives you, God loves you, God cares about you, there is a future for you, there is hope for you, but there are consequences of the things you've done. But don't let the consequences of the things you've done keep you from doing right in the future. That's really what we're trying to say to people. If you're rebellious, stop being rebellious. Obey, have faith, move forward according to faith, and do what God would want you to do. Rebellion is a bad, bad plan. And I hope that helped you as you teach this lesson this coming Sunday. Have a great day.